And while you're turning to Revelation chapter 3, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, we come to you this morning and thank you so much for another opportunity to consider the truth of your word. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning and help us to understand the lesson that you have for us. Guide us and direct us and lead us this morning in this preaching time. I pray everybody will receive something that will be helpful in their walk with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes as we go through our daily routine, it seems like every now and then we will experience a day when things seem to go from bad to worse. It makes me think of the California Highway Patrolman who pulled the driver over and told the driver that because he was wearing his seatbelt, he had just won the $5,000 state safety competition. And then the policeman said to him, "What are you going to do with all that money?" The man says, "Well, I guess the first thing I'm going to do is get a driver's license." Well, with that, the woman in the seat next to him spoke up. And she said to the patrolman, she said, "Oh, don't listen to him. He's always a smart aleck when he's drunk." Well, with that, the guy in the back seat woke up. And when he saw the patrolman standing there, he said, "I knew we wouldn't get far in a stolen car." And just about that time, there was a knock coming from the trunk that said, "Have we crossed the border yet?" So this is a guy who had things in just a matter of moments go from bad to worse. Well, I think we all have those days when things seem to go from bad to worse. But you know, as we read the newspapers and as we settle down, Lucy. Go ahead and laugh, because it's about all the laughing that's going to be done in this sermon. So no, just kidding. But you know, we read the newspapers, we watch the TV news, and it seems to me like this great country that our forefathers fought and died for is going from bad to worse. I told you in last week's sermon that as a country, we have so much to be thankful for, and we really do. And I have to admit, I have enjoyed celebrating our country's 238th birthday this weekend. I really have enjoyed it. I enjoyed the big family cookout at my sister's house yesterday. On Friday, even though it was raining and we didn't get to do much, we all sat around the TV and we watched the 229th Bristol Parade on the TV. So we didn't get to go to a parade, but we watched a parade. And then last night, after the big cookout, we came back to town and we went over to Gloucester to the soccer field and we watched fireworks and rode some carnival rides and ate popcorn and cotton candy, just what I need. But I have thoroughly enjoyed my holiday weekend. I'm going home this afternoon, barbecue some steaks on the grill, and then after church tonight, my family and I, we're having our own fireworks display. So the whole weekend's just been a great, great blessing. We have really enjoyed it. But you know, as I celebrate the blessings of God on our nation, I can't help but feel that our parade has been rained on. Things really seem to be going from bad to worse. For decades now, there has been a downpour of sin falling on this nation. Things have reached a deplorable level in our government and in our schools, and who would have ever thought that God's church would get to the deplorable condition that we find it in many places in this day and age? Now, someone might say, "Well, preacher, some folks thinks God's church today is in fine shape." You know what? And I don't doubt that there are some folks who think that. But at the same time, you know, many doctors have examined people and told them they were in excellent shape, and a week later, they were dead. just after I had my stress test done earlier in the year. Thankfully, Ron didn't tell me this ahead of time, but Ron told me a story about a guy who went to have a stress test done, had it done. The doctor said, everything looked good, your heart's in good shape, and he died of a heart attack on the way home from the test. So, the point is, you know, just because somebody thinks something is good doesn't mean that it is. Well, here in the book of Revelation, you know, there was a church called the Laodicean Church who thought they were in fine shape too. But the Lord had a different opinion about that church. Look at this, Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Again, we're in verse 14 of chapter 3. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now notice, because thou sayest, this is their opinion of themselves, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing. Here's God's opinion. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What a contrast. Oh, they thought everything was fine. God says you're miserable, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, no one in their right mind today, who knows what the Bible teaches, can truthfully say that God's church is walking in step with what the Bible teaches. Now, there are churches here and there around the country, we thank God for that, that are trying to live by the Word of God. But we see so much craziness these days going on under the title of Christianity, you know. We got, it started out with the Christian rock music, and now we got Christian nightclubs. I read somewhere about churches doing line dancing in church. They got Christian social drinking clubs now in churches. And matter of fact, this was the craziest thing I'd heard. A couple of churches call themselves Christians. A couple of churches down south now have Christian strippers for the men to come and watch at church. At church. It's crazy. It's crazy. You know what else we got now? We got Christian professional wrestling. Wrestling for Jesus. That's the newest up-and-coming trend to hit churches. And churches can schedule them, and they'll show up, and they'll wrestle for Jesus. The Christian Wrestling Federation, which is now about 14 years old, starred such famous wrestlers as Apocalypse, Angel, The Deacons, a Beast, and Jesus Freak. The Christian Wrestling Federation is a group that started out with about a dozen wrestlers headquartered in North Texas who come and they'll wrestle before screaming church crowds filled with old and young people. And as a matter of fact, and by the way, now they have a bunch of wrestlers. They've expanded, and now they do this in every state. And as a matter of fact, one of their big extravaganzas recently, they had an Anything Goes contest between Jesus Freak and Apocalypse, using a garbage can, a table, and a baking pan as weapons in the ring. And the crowd in that Christian group supposedly was so riled up, they had to stop the match a couple of times and tell them not to be throwing items into the ring. The guy who calls himself Jesus Freak, his name is Rob Vaughn. He said, we're a ministry first. Wrestling is so popular with kids now, it will get people to come to church more often. Now, can you picture this? Can you picture Jesus standing outside of the ring, shouting and hollering? And there's Peter. He's got James in a headlock. And up behind him comes John with a metal folding chair, and whack right over Peter's head. And then they all turn to the crowd and say, y'all come to church now, you hear? Like that's going to get them in. You know what that is? That is a cheapening of the gospel. That is a cheapening of the gospel. I'm convinced of this. If the Holy Ghost cannot get people into church, wrestling's not going to get them. into church. But you know, that's the kind of stuff that's going on in our day and age and in our country. And folks, as we study the history of other nations and we study the Word of God, we know that God is going to have to bring judgment on this nation soon, or else He's going to have to apologize to the other nations whom He destroyed, who were not nearly as wicked as this nation. Now, in last week's message, we saw that there are some things today in which God is missing. Some things we desperately need Him back in. I said we need God back in our government. We need God back in our churches. We need God back in our schools. But there are other things that we need to restore in this society in which we live as well. I have three more of them for you this morning. First of all, we need God back in our businesses. Back in our businesses. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." And that verse applies to so many things in our life, but it also includes the business world. I hear Christians tell me all the time that they would not have a difficult time serving the Lord if they didn't have to go to work in that secular world that is filled with wickedness. And you know what the problem is? The business world has become a very sinful world. USA Today had an article not too long ago as to why this is a problem. And they listed the most common types of unethical, illegal behavior that workers say they have engaged in because of pressure. Things like cutting corners on quality control, or covering up incidents, or abusing or lying about sick days, or lying to deceive customers, or putting inappropriate pressure on others, or stealing material and materials and supplies for personal use. This survey was done by the Ethics Officers Association and the American Society of Chartered Life Underwriters and Chartered Financial Consultants. And you know what? In that same survey, 48% of the Americans who were surveyed, American workers, admitted to taking illegal or unethical actions in the past year. You know what that says? That says almost half of our country are crooks. That's unbelievable. Another radio news program recently reported that those physicians who work for themselves do 50% more operations than those who do not work for themselves. And the implication is that about 50% of the operations take place should never have taken place. I mean, the business world in general has gone crazy. The business profession in America is a mess. I mean, we got, you've heard the stories, you know, mechanics charging people for parts they never installed. And, you know, and this is not true of everyone, right? I hope you understand that, right? I'm not talking about everyone. Thank God for the honest people in our country. But you hear the stories, contractors charging for services they never performed, exterminators charging for service they never did, telephone companies ripping people off with charges that the customers are not even aware that they're paying. There was a big scandal this week. It's been all over the news with T-Mobile charging secret fees to people, you know, not telling them what they're paying for, but charging them anyway. And then, of course, you got filthy language being used by employers and employees. I went to return something at Walmart just recently, and the lady behind that counter had the filthiest mouth I think I've ever heard dealing with the customers. And it wasn't that she was mad or anything. This was just her everyday language. I thought to myself, the people that run this store need to find somebody else to run that service, that customer service counter. But just filth. And then you got lying and cheating and deceiving. And these things take place in the business world without even a pang of conscience. There's a ton of crookedness in the business world today. And it's time for America to wake up, because just in case you don't realize it, the holy God of heaven sees all this stuff that's going on. He sees it all. The average person who goes to work each day is exposed to cursing and lying and deception and sexual harassment and dope and stealing and embezzling and unfairness and gossiping and cheating. They're exposed to every kind of ungodliness that you can imagine. And let me tell you, Christian, this is why the Bible tells you that you need to put on the armor of God, because of what's going on in the world around you. Because if Christians do not have on the armor of God in this evil environment, they are not going to be able to stand, and they're going to go right along with the wickedness that's going on around them. That's why we're warned. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand, to be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Christians need to stand in the armor of God. Christians need to stand in the power of God. And Christians need to be a testimony for God in the business world. This is an important area where we need to put into practice Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, excuse me, which is in heaven. If ever a Christian needed to be a light for Christ, it is on the job. On the job. You need to let your light shine bright for Jesus on your job. We need to get God back into our businesses. And then secondly, let me say this. We need to get God back in our homes. Back in our homes. In our society today, we have beautiful school buildings to educate our children, beautiful churches to worship in, and beautiful houses to live in. But many of our houses are like the magnificent school buildings and church buildings. They're buildings that are only fronts to deceive people. And why do I say that? Why do I say they're just fronts? It's because one thing this country is good at is putting up a front. For example, we have some of the nicest, most beautiful school buildings of any country in the world. But in a lot of those schools, now again, not all, thankfully, but in a lot of those schools, there is very little teaching and learning taking place. This morning, as I was getting ready, I flipped on the news and I was watching a little bit. And there was a report on there about a study that was done in the New York State Department of Education. And after all, they put all the information together, it says that 80 to 85% of the students in that state are under grade level. They're not even working at grade level. 80 to 85%. That astounded me. I don't know what the figures are for here in our state, but that sounds pretty bad. And the truth is, countries that have shabby school buildings are outscoring our students by substantial margins. See, you can have a beautiful school building, but what good is that if there's no real education taking place inside the school building, right? And along these same lines, we have some of the nicest and most beautiful church buildings of any country in the world. But in a lot of them, there's very little preaching of the Word of God and very little true worship going on. And you know what? We have some of the nicest houses of any country in the world. But in a lot of those houses, there is no love. There is no proper example being set. There's no Bible training. There's no prayer. There's no supervision. No one gets together. Everybody's on their own. They never do anything together. There is no concern for others and no concern for God. And I mean nothing. But you know what that is? That may be a house, but that's not a home. That's not a home. And a lot of homes today, the only time you hear the precious name of Jesus is as a curse word. That's a sad thing in our country. These are like, you know, many of the school buildings and churches in the nation. They're only fronts to fool people. They make you think of some of the old-time cowboy movies that look like they're taking place in a real town. But actually, it's just only the fronts, right? It's just a facade. It's just they're just a movie set to give the appearance of a town. And we need to wake up as Americans. We need God back in our businesses. We need God back in our homes. And let me finish with this. We need God back in our personal lives. You know, when it comes to the government, churches, schools, businesses, and sometimes even our homes, we sometimes feel like our hands are tied because we make every effort that we can make, and it seems like the effort we make doesn't make that much difference. But when it comes to our personal life, we have full control. The Bible tells us in the book of James, James 4:8, these words, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." You see, the truth is, as a Christian, you are as close to God as you want to be. You're as close to God as you want to be. God does not set any restrictions on how close we can get to him. He says, "Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you." And to be honest, if you're not as close to God as you used to be, somebody moved. Who was it? I can guarantee it wasn't God. It wasn't God. See, in America, we have so much to be thankful for. But I can't help but wonder, If America doesn't wake up soon, and if there's not a revival that comes to this land soon, how much longer will it be before God sends his judgment? Because we're taking the same path for which he has destroyed many other nations in world history. The devil is seeing to it that sin is reigning on our parade. And what is the answer to that? What is the answer? I want you to turn with me to one verse of scripture from the Old Testament. Should be a familiar one to you, but I want to go over it with you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Once you get to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, down to verse 14. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name..." Now let's stop there and realize that that's us. Do we not call ourselves Christians? We carry the name of Christ with us wherever we go. "If my people, which are called by my name..." First of all, it says, "shall humble themselves." We got to get to the point where we realize that God is everything, we're nothing, and we can't do anything without him. We've got to, individually and as a church and in our homes and in our country, we've got to come to the place where we realize that we are totally dependent upon him. If it was not for his mercy and grace, we would all already be destroyed. And we need to humble ourselves before him and realize that we need God back in our country. Humble themselves. And then it says, "and pray." We need to pray seriously and pray earnestly for America, and not stop praying. Continue to pray. So humble themselves and pray. And then it says, "and seek my face." That is, seek to do things God's way, according to God's word. And we've got to warn people that they need to get in this boat with us and do things God's way and according to God's word. And then it says, "and turn from their wicked ways." Now, you'll notice this is written to my people, which are called by my name. This verse is not written to unbelievers. It's written to believers. We need to turn from our wicked ways. Repent, repent, repent. Repentance is a major key to revival. We need to repent of our wickedness. We need to repent of our worldliness. And then look what will happen if we'll follow that prescription. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And let me tell you, if there was ever a time when America needs healing, it's now. It's now. And so the question is, what will we do about it? Will we pray? Will we warn the wicked of their wicked way? Will we preach the life-changing gospel of Christ? Will we humble ourselves before God? Will we repent? Will we set the example? And will we make Jesus the center of our lives and our homes and our businesses and our church? Because if we as God's people are not willing to do our part, America is doomed. America is doomed. We might as well face it that if there's no change, judgment is coming. And the only thing that can avert that judgment is us as God's people following this prescription that the Bible lays out for us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning and the challenge to our hearts. Lord, we need you back in